I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know sports media, sports radio, sports all want to just go after Joe Mazzulla or go after Jaylen Brown. But you had a good year. Even people are parking back now saying, well, if Ime was there, that wouldn't have happened. Well, Ime got you to, you know, the finals. Joe Mazzulla was one game away from the finals. So, I've always said this, with these guys, until they win it, that's the thing about being with the Boston Celtics. You can play well. Other teams would celebrate what just happened. But for the Celtics, their goal is to get another banner 18. And until they get that, it's going to be an underachievement with the kind of players right now you have. I think you have a stacked team of some really, really high quality players. And what do you do in free agency? Who do you bring in? I don't know, but I like what you have with this team. The thing that they have to learn to do is close games and not to be inconsistent. And sometimes that grow, you get that by growing in time. Tatum and Brown together. Just find a way to close games because, you know, let's be very frank. You essentially coughed that one up in Miami and then had a miracle play to win the game. And it was just crazy to see it happen like that and then see the wheels fall off the bus immediately once you lose your best player.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Welcome back into another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Josue Pavone, and the Celtics, man, we're in off-season mode, right? We've had plenty of time to digest the outcome of this Celtics team after coming back, nearly pulling off the 3-0 upset, which would have been the first in NBA history. The Celtics tied the series up, got things to game seven, but fell short. 103-84 is the final score. And like I said, Max, we've had plenty of time to go through everything, right? Every angle of this thing, what happened, what should have happened. And now as we move forward, well, what's next for this team, Max? I guess that's the point of this podcast, right? Like what's this off season going to look like? Or what would you like to see happen? But first things first, Max, let's go through game seven real quick. And in your opinion, what do you think went wrong for that Celtics team up against the Miami Heat?
First play of the game, it was very simple. Jason Tatum twists his ankle. And he was done. Essentially, he was playing, as he said, I was a shell of myself. I didn't have anything. He had no lift, no elevation. And the team took their clues. They took their clues from Jason Tatum. And if you didn't believe it, in that game, it was truly that way. LeBron Martin, you know, couldn't miss a shot while he was playing the Celtics. I mean,
and almost then MVP goes, Martin, right?
Yeah. Well, he should have been MVP. Jimmy Butler played well, but it was more Caleb Martin who continuously was a thorn in the Celtics side, either driving towards the hole or hitting through wide open trays or trays with his hand in the face. So, you know, he was that dude in that series. And that's the thing about great players. Great players, yeah, for a while, or great players and just good players, and the fact that good players would do it sometimes. They'll do it in a series three or four games. But the consistency of him, again, can he do it in this Denver series? And so far, looks like Denver is going to, it's just one game, obviously, small sample size, but right. Denver really looked like the superior team.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, right? Some people think it's going to be a short series. I wonder how Miami's going to respond, especially when things go back to Miami, what the Denver Nuggets are going to look like. But, I mean, going back to what you're saying about Martin, though, that was the guy that really killed the Celtics all series long, especially in that moment. But you look at other guys on that team, though. Yeah, Jason Tatum just lost his rhythm completely after that first play. No question about it. And the Celtics team sort of – obviously, they follow his lead. But I felt like that was an opportunity for someone else to step up, right? Someone like Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen had a tough night. I mean, what a worse way to go out, especially on that stage, Game 7, chance to go to the NBA Finals. And let's face it, he just wasn't ready for that moment. Is it that easy? Like, how do you say it? Like, obviously, it's a bad time to have the worst game of your career, essentially, especially in the postseason. But in a Game 7 like that, 8 turnovers, couldn't find your offensive rhythm. I mean, what happens there with Jaylen Brown, in your opinion? What do you think happened?
I think exactly what you're saying. I mean, sometimes everybody's going to have a bad night. And that just happened to be a bad night topped off with Jason Tatum, you know, being hurt essentially from the beginning of the game. You know, no rhythm, no shots. Malcolm Brogdon, who has been arguably one of the best six men that's been around in a long time for the Celtics. You know, the forearm injury wouldn't allow him to shoot the basketball. I mean, it was just the injury bug and the timing bug hit him. And, man, you looked over there, and how good would it have been to have Gallinari to come in and play part of that role. And he's starting to right now get back healthy. I don't think it would have been fair to throw him out there. But they've been talking about him practicing and what he can do next year. So, you know, it was bad timing for the Celtics. You know, you look at it, Game 6 was a miracle. Well, they should have won Game 6. They shouldn't have got there. Then they get a miracle. And then, you know, he gets snatched back from them when Tatum twists his ankle, essentially the first play of the game. And Joe Mazzulla was dealing with his deck was it was stacked against him from then on in.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And then you have Robert Williams, you know, we find out after the fact that he was sick. He was throwing up and had a stomach bug. And that was a big part of the reason why he couldn't find his rhythm either. So, yeah, it's bad timing for stuff like that, obviously. I mean, at the end of the day. But, I mean, Max, you expected a little more from this team, right? A little more fight. Like you said, what would have been a historic moment in Boston sports history, that Derek White play.
Not Boston sports history, in the history of the NBA.
The history of the NBA, okay, yeah, my fault, right.
150 teams had been down 3-0, and not one of them had won. And the Celtics, it was teed up for them perfectly to win the sixth game by a miracle. And the three teams that had got it to the seventh game, all those games they were playing, the seventh game was on the road. Celtics had the advantage of being home, the crowd, everything. The first couple of minutes of the game couldn't have gone. First couple of minutes, you get a couple of baskets, and then Tatum goes down. And from then on, it just seemed like it was downhill fast. But that's part of the game, that you're going to have injuries and things are going to happen like that to you in these situations.
So what happens next, in your opinion? What would you like to see happen? Would you like to see drastic changes? Do you think that this team needs to – you know, break up its core? I figured you would say that.
Why?
I don't either, but I just...
What's the core reason for you to change it? I mean, this team was a game away from winning, from getting to the finals. People talked about Joe Mazzulla and said what he did or what he didn't do. I thought Joe Mazzulla had a very good year. He was solid. Man. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Any coach is going to make mistakes. But I thought he had the ear of his team. You could see the way he was talking to them, especially to get them 7 games. I mean, I know sports media, sports radio, sports tele, all of them wanted to just go after Joe Mazzulla or go after Jaylen Brown. But you had a good year. Even people parking back now saying, well, if Ime was there, that wouldn't have happened. Well, Ime got you to, you know, the finals. Joe Mazzulla was one game away from the finals. So, I've always said this, with these guys, until they win it, that's the thing about being with the Boston Celtics. You can play well. Other teams would celebrate what just happened. But for the Celtics, their goal is to get another banner, banner 18. And until they get that, it's going to be an underachievement with the kind of players right now you have. I think you have a stacked team of some really, really high quality players. And what do you do in free agency? Who do you bring in? I don't know, but I like what you have with this team. The thing that they have to learn to do is close games and not to be inconsistent. And sometimes that grow, you get that by growing in time. Tatum and Brown together. Just find a way to close games because, you know, let's be very frank. You essentially coughed that one up in Miami and then had a miracle play to win the game. And it was just crazy to see it happen like that and then see the wheels fall off the bus immediately once you lose your best player.
Well, the intensity of Miami Heat too, man. I just felt like they were like, look, we're not going to be on the wrong side of history here. You're going to get the best punch we have. And look, that team wasn't afraid.
No. I didn't. That it didn't have – this wasn't about Miami at the end of the day. It really wasn't. This was more about the
Celtics. All the pressure was on those guys. What do you mean?
No, it wasn't about Miami. It was about the Celtics. The Celtics were essentially – at the beginning, they were favorite to win the series. Who is our betting partner right now? You know, you read your commercial all the time.
FanDuel, FanDuel that pays nicely, Max.
FanDuel continuously had the Celtics as favorites. They had them as favorites. Even in the last game, they were favorites. So the pressure wasn't on the Celtics, especially at the end. The pressure was still on Miami. The Celtics, did they get a fur ball in the throat? Did they pee the bed? Yeah. But again, it's about injuries. And injuries, you know, and I know people said they're part of the game, but that was a huge part. If you saw Jason Tatum, I went to the locker room at the end of the game. He was the only one in there. His ankle was knee deep in a bucket of ice. And he said, hey, I was a shell of myself. I couldn't move. And without him, that was a huge part of what you do. And then as you said, then you had Brown, you know, didn't have a Jaylen Brown game, an opportunity to step up and, you know, have 8 turnovers. I think somebody said that tied the record for turnovers Larry Bird.
Who is it? Larry Bird?
People will be like, what do you mean, Larry Bird?
It's worth noting. Hey, that's not bad company, right?
But that was what happens, and it just shows you. And I say that not to get on Larry because hell, I think he's one of the great.
Of course not, right?
To play, but I'm saying this to magnify that one of the greatest players ever to lace up tennis shoes had a stat line of that where you had 8 turnovers. But what he had those other guys who could back him up and erase those turnovers. Without Jaylen Brown, without Tatum, that seemed to just kind of fall on deaf ears. And no Brogdon, Derek White played extremely well. Then Marcus didn't have a good scoring game, what he was able to do. So it was just a lot of bad vibes at the end of the day.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with this team, man. I wonder how they respond, right? And I think I'm more curious about that. I'd rather see that happen than to see the alternative, which is them shake things up and go out and get who, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we're hearing all kinds of names throughout the summer, but I don't see a way for the Celtics team to get overall better or at least do something like a huge trade for, I don't know, Damian Lillard or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, you put yourself in a better chance than what you have now. I don't know if that's the case, especially in the short term, where we're talking about the next 2-3 years and a potential contract extension for Jaylen Brown. I guess that's the perfect way to go into our next topic here. Do you see that happening? Does he get his max contract? Do you see these two continuing to lead this team into another 2-3 year window to compete for a championship?
Celtics would love to do it.
Brad Stevens sounds like it.
Sure. My sources say that, you know, you got nobody other than what I read. That's all.
No, you can say sources, Max. Say that. That was good.
My sources say that, you know, that Brad Stevens wants to sign Jaylen Brown to a long-term deal. You know, this is the last year of his contract. I know they'd love to have him time up. Tatum can get the Supermax. But what you're going to have then, if you sign both those guys, now you're talking about close to $500 million for two players. And how do you stretch that out? How many other players can you bring in? Derek White has maybe one or two more years ago. You did sign Al. Rob is signed. So you have some of your key components right now who are already going to be there. And I like what Brad Stevens said. Look, we're bringing back Joe Mazzulla. They asked him, so you want to bring, he said, bring him back Joe Mazzulla. Yeah, so Joe Mazzulla has the confidence of organization. He has the confidence of the guy dealing with basketball, our rep operations and brand. And I think pretty much sure the ownership group, which is around the Celtics, are very happy with who Joe Mazzulla is and what they have him for.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it all year. Like, it's nothing is ideal about the way he got the job, right? And look, if this team went out and got swept, I don't know. I think it'd be more of a talking point as to if he lost his team. But the fact that this team responded in a big way, winning 3 in a row, and obviously pointing at him as someone that, you know, helped guide these guys, and obviously they all had to come together to pull something off like that. But Joe Mazzulla is the guy I feel like they want to play for. They want to see him succeed. And again, I would love to see what this team looks like next year, but there's got to be some changes around the team, around the roster, right? I mean, I'm not talking about the core. I would love to see what they have, but I mean, the second unit ran thin. Look, Malcolm Brogdon ran out of gas, and that's been the story of his career. Maybe that's something we should have seen coming. I mean, not ran out of gas in terms of, you know, who he is, but you know what I mean, Max? Like, the injuries popped up again. You know, it's happening. It's happening in Milwaukee when he was with the Indiana Pacers, and here it goes again. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen at the tail end.
That is just one of the things that happens when you think about playing. That you're going to have injuries, and
so the bench has to be stronger.
Hoping that the injuries are in timely moments. Are you committed right now to Davison, him coming back, him developing as a guard? Does he have any room? Does Pritchard have any room? Muscala, does he have any room? Are you going to bring back all the guys that you look at on your bench right now and going to say, well, I want this guy.
Grant's a big question mark.
Grant's going to be a big question mark. So I think, you know, I would love that if they kept Grant. Grant fits in well what they do, but can they afford to, if somebody comes out with a big contract, can they afford to have them? So, I mean, there's some question marks, but your core players, your two core players, when you're talking about Brown and Tatum, you can surround them with different players. So I'm okay where they're at. And what I loved about this season is I saw the maturity and the growth in Jason Tatum. And that was very pleasing. As a rebounder, as a defender, as a leader of this club, I saw the growth that I'm looking for when you think about a guy in his position with his character. Definitely. And who he is.
Yeah. And you know, there's not he hasn't hit the ceiling yet, too. I think that's most inspiring about it. 100%. Hey, Max, before we transition real quick, because I know you got plenty to say about the NBA Finals, so we'll end with that. But I wanted to squeeze this in here about what Danny Ainge had to say, which I thought was really interesting. It was to Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, and he said this is about what he has to say about Joe Mazzulla, right? I don't think there's anybody there that doesn't believe that Joe is better than Ime as a coach. And I thought that was really interesting for him to say and go out and say something like that. Obviously, no longer with the organization, but saying just how impressed he was with Joe Mazzulla given the situation that he was in. And, of course, he's also looking forward to what this team will look like when he gets a full offseason after coming off his very first, first year as head coach.
Danny tries to say some of the right things. I'm not sure. It's almost like a backhanded slap, though. I think Joe Mazzulla did a great job considering, you know, what he did and what he had to handle coming into a team with expectations of being one of the best teams in NBA. For a while, they were absolutely on a roll. And the same thing you could say about Tatum. Tatum was on a roll. He was on the roll as a high MVP guy this year. And then he had that little slump in there. And he bounced down and then finally in the playoff to remind you who he is and what he can do. So, it was just unfortunate. I remember him talking about how excited he was to come back to the Garden. I'm sure we're going to get a little, I may have to get that little B-roll tape that he has sometimes and see him placing in there where Tatum said, I have never been so excited about coming back to play, come back home and part in front of these fans. And that was so cool to hear him say that. And for him to twist that ankle with the first play of the game, man, that was just, that's Buzz's luck. And so that did happen.
All right, Max. So what are you thinking, man? You thinking the game one is an indication of how dominant this Denver Nuggets team is going to be? I mean, the final score doesn't really tell the whole story because they had a comfortable lead throughout, and the Miami Heat managed to get it down to about 12 at the end. But what's your take on this thing, man? Is it the altitude? Is it the high altitude that the Miami Heat going through? Are they going to adjust? How do you see the series playing out?
It isn't the altitude. The altitude does affect you when you play in those situations. It's not about that. I think that Denver is just a bigger, stronger, more capable team. Until you find somebody who is going to counter what Jokic does, then how are you going to play there? What Murray's able to do? What Miami did, they threw a bunch of junk defenses against the Celtics. And in the last game, it really worked. Celtics were so confused. You can't
play. Well, they were switching. Remember that game seven? Yeah. They were switching like crazy. I don't know if you can do that with this Denver team.
Well, you can't. The thing you can't do is Denver gets the ball. When Al gets the ball in the paint, and that's the way you break up a zone. Throw the ball in the middle, and this guy makes a great decision. Al didn't make those decisions. Al was immediately throwing the ball to the corner and the threes were being missed instead of sometimes what Joker does is he turns, sees he has a mouse in the house, steps in and gets a little bunny. I would love to have seen the Celtics do a lot more of that. And that's where he's really going to be a difference between what they do and what the Celtics did and what Miami did on the defensive end.
Yeah, I was one thing I was impressed about was Bam Adebayo's big game. I didn't see that one coming, so I wonder how that pans out for the rest of the series. But of course, Jimmy Butler, see how he responds as well. But yeah, I just want to see what they look like when he gets back to Miami. I mean, obviously, game two should probably be closer than it was in game one. But you're saying in five? I like the Nuggets' chances to go up 2-0. But you're saying this thing is wrapped up? This is going to wrap up in five?
Okay, wraps up five. I think it wraps up in five. And if the Nuggets win game two and they put together that kind of effort that they deal with the Lakers, it could be quicker than that. I just think they're a more dominant, more talented team. Miami played well. I'm not taking anything away from them. They played very well, especially in that last game, but they also had some luck to go along with it when Tatum went down in that game. And the game plan for the Celtics has always been about stopping Jason Tatum. Well, for other teams, the game plan is to stop Tatum. Well, Tatum stopped himself when he got injured. And it wasn't a dirty play. He went up with a shot, came down on the guy's foot and essentially turned his ankle all the way over. And anybody who's played basketball before, you look at that play, and when you see that ankle twist and hit the ground, man, there's not a sickening, more sickening feeling. I remember as a young boy, when I was, it must have been about 10 years old, I'm jumping from, there was, you know, sometimes you have these posts at the recreation center, you know, sometimes to stop cars, and, you know, I'm jumping one post to the other post, and I jump and just, oh my God, turned my ankle all the way over. And my buddies essentially made me walk home, and my ankle has never been the same since. So Jason Tatum, that was just, I could feel his pain.
No question, man. It's a tough way to go out, obviously, and something that he's obviously going to have to think about, because you can't get right into the next season, right? You got to go through these months and process everything and then come back. So we'll see what happens. And also next week, what's
up? You're the Celtics, though. You look at it. You're in really good shape, especially if Brown doesn't sign. Brown still has one more year on his deal. If you're the Celtics, the thing about the NBA now is having great wings. And you got two of the most dynamic wings. You have two guards. You have three guards where you're strong right there. Rob Williams had an injury, always an injury prone. He needs to be healthy. And then Al was really solid this year until he finally ran into Miami and he couldn't hit any shots. But you're talking about bringing back Gallinari. If Gallinari is able to bring you some of that scoring back, man, I don't see a lot of holes in what they do. But then you're talking about, will you bring back Blake Griffin? I'll ask you.
I'd love to see Blake back, but, you know, if he's willing to, you know, after what happened. But I just wonder what's going to happen with, obviously, guys like Rob Williams. How's he going to respond? His body going to respond? Grant Williams' future? Like, you got to pick up some of these, I don't know, somehow, if you can fill these holes that you're getting out of the second unit. I mean, whether it's secondary scoring, someone up front that you can rely on. Because like you said, you're relying on guys' health way more than most teams should. Especially a team that has to go deep into the playoffs, Max. Shouldn't have to worry about so many important players. You know what I mean? Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, sixth man of the year. I mean, these are guys that have to be healthy and haven't shown you any signs of being able to do that to the end. You know?
Well, let's go through it then. All right. I'm gonna give you the mark then. You get a chance to do it. Peyton Pritchard.
He's probably gone. I mean, what's going to keep him around if he knows that he's behind Derek White, he's behind Smart, he's behind Malcolm Brogdon? So that's probably a chip that you have to use to try to get someone that can fill in that role, or fill in some sort of secondary scoring role that you need.
Sam Hauser.
Hauser, I would love to see come back. I'm disappointed that we didn't see him more throughout these conference finals, to be honest.
Let's go with AJ.
Who?
Bring him back or not? The point guard who didn't play last year, Davison.
Oh, Davison?
JD. Excuse me, JD.
I'm not quite sure he's ready, but yeah. I mean, yeah, I would love to see him back in the G League. You know, someone that you can potentially in the future take over a Peyton Pritchard role, but he's too raw right now.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just trying to go down that bench and see Muscala.
I have no problem with this core. Marcus, Jalen, Tatum. I don't want to see anything like that. But after Muscala, I would love to see him have an increased role. But I don't know, man.
You got to cut the fat someplace. All
but
right.
That's
you
the keep, thing, Max.
Everything I'm saying right now, you keep going. Oh, I'd love to see him back. And then at the same time, your next rep, you're going.
No. I'm saying Pritchard, there's no role for him, right? I'm saying Pritchard could go. Muscala, yeah, I mean, he could go. But I thought you're asking me guys that you would want to see if they're able to come back and give you something. But yeah, okay. Pritchard, Muscala.
Okay.
You know, like.
I just wanted to know where you.
But what are you getting from these guys? Bring these guys back.
Will you bring Blake Griffin back?
Blake is the one that I think, yeah, if he's willing, yeah. But like he's like someone that you plug in when someone can't go. You know what I mean? He's like an insurance guy. That's not someone I want to see playing 20 minutes a night. You know?
Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot, Max. But I tell you this much, you know, changing coaches and all that. No, don't do that.
Oh no, I think that he deserves another chance. I think he did a great job.
Absolutely. These guys want to play for him, you know?
Yeah.
It's just they have something in them that they make these mistakes or they take things for granted. Like game six, they took that for granted. Just from the attitude going into game seven, I don't know what they expected. As if it's going to be shots you're going to just start falling for them. You know,
game six, they played well until the very end of the game. The same thing that's hurt them season.
They took that last couple of minutes for granted, Max. They didn't have it.
That's what I'm saying. In this season, if I could correct one thing, that would be it. Keep your foot on the gas. Yeah. The Celtics don't do that at the end. And I think they almost play not to lose. And what I mean by that is all the things that got them there, pushing the ball, getting great shots, moving the ball around, they stopped doing in the last 3-4 minutes of a game. And you don't feel as comfortable in Miami. Miami got lucky to get to a point where they were able to do that, but at the same time, it shouldn't have been that close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't have been. That's for sure. I agree with that. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap up with the NBA Finals. I think, according to you, right? I guess next week, if this thing does go five, we should be talking about the end of the NBA Finals and crowning the Denver Nuggets as champion. I mean, that's my favorite to win the series, but I think it's going to be longer than people expect. I don't know. I think Miami's got more fight in them. We'll see. Okay. We'll see. Well, this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast, of course, brought to you by FanDuel. And new fans right now get the no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you head to fanduel.com/Boston. Don't want to miss out on this, man. If you guys haven't checked it out already, that's $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. So you can mess up and FanDuel's got you covered with up to $1,000 in bonus bets. That's fanduel.com/Boston. Don't miss out. If you haven't done it already, again, that's fanduel.com/Boston. Max, enjoy yourself. I know you're chilling with the fam. I know you had a reunion over the weekend. I'm sure you kicked it with a lot of old friends you haven't seen in a while, man. How was that? The big 5-0, man.
50-year class reunion, class of 1973. My graduating class was 364, 65, and there are over 300 people who are still alive right now. So pretty good for people right now heading towards 70.
That's awesome, man. What was the night like? You guys telling those same stories? They asking you about what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals. What was it like?
Same stories, a lot of Celtic fans, a lot of Laker fans. It was interesting to see, you know, and people just talking about my career and how they've seen me, and then they see me in broadcast and all that stuff. So it was a very good night. And but you know, right now I'm looking forward to this upcoming season and see what Brad Stevens has in his bag of tricks. I think he did a great job last year with Brogdon. You know, people talked about, oh my God, they lost their first round pick and got it for Derek White. And you're going, yeah, Derek White is a first round pick. And he really helped you. And he solidified himself nicely this year.
100%, man. No, yeah. That's the one piece that I feel like is getting better too around Tatum and Brown, right? He's been adjusted the way he's adjusted from the trade and having a full season with those guys, man. It's incredible. And I know his pop is happy too, man. So shout out to him. I thought that was pretty cool for his dad to go on and, you know, repping his son on Twitter, and that went viral after he made the biggest shot. And he's like, man, that's my boy. Oh my God, that's my boy. I love that. I love that tweet. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode. He is Cedric Maxwell. I am Josue Pavone. We'll see you guys next week.